So if you were here last week, Henry opened up the start of the series that we're going to be going through in the next couple of weeks, looking at why we do the things that we do. We have lots of different things that we do here at St. Barnabas, and some of them might be obvious, but some of them maybe not so obvious. So last week, Henry began, and he looked at why hospitality, and he gave us a little sneak peek about, you know, some of the things that might be happening around the place, little changes that might be happening. Anyone excited about that? And this week, we're going to do why kids. And Henry did that last week, didn't he, if you were here? And he said, because we have them. And he ended his sermon there, and I thought we could do, you know, maybe a little bit more of a sermon than because we have them. So we're going to look a little bit about at that this morning and look at what the Old Testament and the New Testament has to say about our children. And there are two statements that I often hear that people might answer to the question, why kids? And one of them is, well, because then you have a place for them to go so that parents don't get distracted and, you know, we can enjoy our service. That's one statement. And another one that I hear that's more common and also annoying, Helen, this one annoys me as well, is that why kids? Well, because it's a good strategy for church growth. And of course, you do good kids ministry, you're going to get families wanting to come to the church. We are fortunate to be here at St. Barnabas to have families that have been to other churches and end up here because they like our kids' ministry. But that's not the reason why kids. That's not a good answer to why kids. Now, there's truth in both those statements, but I don't like either of those statements. And a short answer for why kids is because they matter and they're important and they matter a whole lot than sometimes we realize. Now, Beth and Jonathan have gone out somewhere. I don't know where they've gone. Oh, there, you've moved. What do you want? You were here. Because you want to sit next to your friend. That's great. Now, Beth, your children, do they matter to you? A lot? Could you explain how much they matter? You probably couldn't explain to me, could you, how much they matter? That's a parent's love for their kids. Well, you know, God, children matter to him far more than they could ever matter to a mother or a father. They matter a great deal to God, and so therefore they've got to matter to us, because our job is to be interested in the things that matter to the God. Okay, so let's have a look at some passages from the Old Testament. If you struggle to find your way around, then use the contents page. It's right at the beginning, and it tells you what page number they're on. It's great, so you don't need to memorize where they are. And then the more you use the contents page, the more familiar you get with where they are, and the less you need to use the contents page. That's what Helen taught me, anyway. Okay, Deuteronomy 6. Says this, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it will go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So this is God instructing the people of Israel how they should be bringing up their children. Now, you know, this was great what we had this morning. We had students of God's word, Beth and Jonathan, doing exactly what God wants them to do, to bring up their children in the promises and the truth and the law of God, to bring them up with the knowledge of who God is. And that is a wonderful thing. And wasn't it exciting to hear that, I don't know whether you caught everything or you've been here since the beginning, but Jonathan said, when he asked, how do you become a Christian? Well, I've always known and loved God. I was brought up in a Christian home. And here he is, standing with two of his children, dedicating them to God. And equally, Beth became a Christian age 8, did you say? Age 8, and gave her life to Jesus. And here she is, standing with her children, dedicating them to God, that they might follow after him in his ways, that their children might follow after him in his ways. So Joshua, let's have a look at that. Joshua chapter 4. Just after they've crossed through the Jordan, verse 1 says this: when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to make up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. So here we have this amazing thing that has happened to the nation of Israel. This river stopped flowing so that they could cross and follow after where God was leading them. And so what God says is, don't just let that pass by and be stopped after your generation ends and the new generation carries on, but pass that good news on to the next generation. Build a memorial so that when you go past it with them and they say, Mother, Father, what is that? What does that mean? And you can turn to them and say, that is to remind us that when God did something spectacular, and he never changes, he is still spectacular today, to have that memorial. Psalm 78. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will teach you lessons from the past, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he's done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Even children yet to be born should be part of what God is doing. That's why we don't begin kids' ministry when we decide that children are able to understand. We begin it now, so that our children from the earliest age here at St. Barnabas can grow up with a knowledge of who God is. Not because it's a good idea, but because it's God's idea. And Jesus had a few things to say about children. This from Matthew 18. It'll be something that many of us have read before. And if you ever go to a kids' conference, normally there'll be somebody preaching from this passage. And Matthew 18 says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child whom he placed among them and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a humble place, becoming like this child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Hospitality last week. How do we make people feel welcome? How do we make people feel like they're part of what we're doing here at St. Barnabas? Well, actually, kids, providing for them is part of that hospitality, making kids feel that they matter and are important. Somebody I know recently took my children to one of their churches, and they didn't have any squash. And they were amazed to have a child in their church. And they said, we don't have squash because we never have children. And I said, well, they're never preparing for the children, are they? Until they get the squash, they're not going to be prepared for the children that God might one day send them. And the fact that the squash is sitting there, even if it ever gets used or not, doesn't matter. It's the fact that when it does get used, that one day when a child turns up and they think, well, I've been prepared for. Somebody is making me feel hospitable here. Making me feel, someone being hospitable to me, making me feel part of what they're doing. Welcoming children, Jesus was clear on how important that is. Then over to Matthew 19, verse 13. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. He went on from there when he'd done what? What did he do before he went on from there? He placed his hands on them. He didn't move on. He placed his hands on them and then he went on from there. They weren't in his way. They were in the disciples' way. But Jesus had a thing to say, a serious word to say to them, a rebuke to say to them. Do not hinder them. Let them come to me. And before he went on from there, he placed his hands on them. He said, "I have time for every single one of you because you matter in the kingdom of God." It's not just a good idea, it's Jesus' idea. And then later in Matthew 21, the blind and the lame, verse 14 in chapter 21, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise?" So they matter to God, they matter to Jesus, and they need to matter to us. And so often, the reason that kids are so important to me and to us here at St. Barnabas is because they too often do not matter. You know, if I take my children to Brent Cross, which is not out of choice, it's more out of being forced to because a birthday is coming up and you've got to get presents for something is happening that you need to go out to Brent Cross for. There's always got to be a reason. You wouldn't just go for the sake of going. I wouldn't anyway. And so you go to Brent Cross and our youngest, Isaac, he's fine because he's in the buggy. And so he doesn't really get in people's way because they can see the buggy and they can just avoid the buggy. But our two others, Minnie, age 2, and Alice, age 5, they can be a little bit of a nuisance, a little bit annoying when you're trying to shop. When you're there on your own and you've got a list and you're focusing and then there's these children in the way. And children become invisible to some people, some adults at times, if they're in the way. And if they're in the way, they can become invisible. You know, the disciples wanted them to become invisible. And it's amazing how people are quite happy to mow a child down in Brent Cross Shopping Centre. That's when I feel like getting my own back with a buggy and, you know, putting chariot spikes on the side of the wheels and just mowing down the hallways in Brent Cross. I'm not going to do that. They so often don't matter here in this nation through the nations of the earth. And actually, you know, the church is sometimes one of the worst offenders. You know, we're fortunate here that we take it seriously enough to employ somebody, myself, to work with the children and to train trainee kids pastors in how to work with children. And we have some wonderful volunteers here at St. Barnabas. But it isn't the case in every church. And even in a church like ours, we still need to remember just how important every child is to God, how much they matter to Him. And there are great organizations throughout the world, like Save the Children and the Children's Society and Compassion, that seek to support children and give children a voice. But still in the world, children are abused, and the rights, what little rights they have, even those at times are abused. And your children matter, and so too often, they just don't matter. You know, if we have the next slide up there, I've listed a couple of things of where people through history decide that children do matter. And the Nazis realized children matter, and they had the Hitler Youth Band. a group of people that they were training in anti-Semitism. Some, as they had a poster that was put up advertising the youth band, trying to recruit children as young as 10, teaching them anti-Semitism. They knew the importance of children, the significance of children in our world. Get them now, train them now, we've got them forever. And Chinese communists had the Red Guards, youth and students, recruiting them for their cause. Get them now, we've got them forever. Child soldiers. You know, in parts of Africa, children as young as 9 are recruited as child soldiers. Not just Africa, it's parts of South America and across the pond into parts of Europe. Get them now, get a gun in the hand, and we got them. You know, kids matter. We should care about them, but they also have an important part to play in the life of our church and in God's kingdom. They have strategic importance in the work of the kingdom of God. Have you not read from the lips of infants and babes, you have ordained praise? God knows the significance of our children. He knows the significance of our children. And the devil knows the significance of our children. You know, Jesus is saying, have you not read Psalm 8 that says, from the lips of infants and babes, you've established a stronghold to silence the avenger and the foe. They have a role to play in shutting the enemy's mouth who spews out his lies over our world. And they have a role to play in that, not when they're ready, but today. Because they don't just matter, but they're important. And they're part of God's plan. They're part of his kingdom being established here on the earth. And this is something that the enemy doesn't want us to be doing as a church. He wants to get us to sideline kids, as so often happens. But God wants us to have a focus on the kids and say, bring them to me. Don't hinder them, but encourage them to me. Provide for them. Make space for them, for they matter. You know, D.L. Moody is an American evangelist of the 1800s, and he knew how important children were. His job, he wasn't a children's minister, he was an evangelist. He'd have huge meetings, and mainly adults would be coming to those meetings. But yet he knew the importance of kids. And after one of his meetings, he came home, and he was obviously tired, it was late, his wife was already in bed asleep. He got into bed, and his wife turned over and murmured, how was it tonight? And Moody said, pretty good, 2.5 converts. And Moody's wife smiles and says, how sweet. How old was the child? And Moody says, no. 2 children and 1 adult. The child has their whole life ahead of them. The adult's life is half spent. And you know, how often would we look at that, hear that, in our minds immediately, like Moody's wife? How sweet, how young was the, how old was the child? What age? We've got to know the significance that our kids have to play. You know, they are sweet. They're beautiful things, and they're glory to God. When you look at a child, it glorifies God. You know, they're just amazing. When you see a child do something for the first time, it glorifies God. This is something he created in his image. It's beautiful. But you know, when a child does something in service of the king, it's not sweet. And it's not cute. It's not, oh. It is powerful. And it's kingdom shaking, kingdom advancing thing. When a child does something in the service of the king. You know, my 2-year-old, Minnie, she's wonderful and great fun, and I'd been to see somebody in hospital, and when I got back, it was just before they were going to bed, and I told them where I'd been. I'd been to see this person, they knew this person, and I'd explained that she had really bad tummy pain. And Minnie said, dear Jesus, thank you that her tummy doesn't hurt anymore. Amen. And then the next morning, my friend was released out of hospital, and the extreme pain that she'd been feeling had gone. Now, that's not cute, what she did, My prayer was cute when I was with her by her bed in hospital, trying to pray away and trying to make something happen. That prayer was powerful. You know, when I was preparing for a sermon a couple of weeks ago, and I was wanted to prepare, and Alice, my eldest, wanted to play with me, wanted me to play with her, and she had her bricks out on the floor, and she said, "Come and play with me." And I thought, "Oh, okay, right. I need to prepare, but I'll play with you now." And so I was playing, building the blocks, but I said, I bent down, my back just went, and I said, "I've got really bad back pain. You're going to have to pray for me so I can play with you." And so she said, "Dear Jesus, heal Daddy's back." So I was like, "It still hurts. Sometimes, you know, we need to pray again. And could you just pray one more time?" And she went, "Dear Jesus, heal Daddy's back. Amen." And my back was completely healed. And that isn't cute. Cute is when I pray for somebody and I go for a second time and I roll my sleeves up and I give it a good go. You know, summoning up all my faith from the bottom of my shoes. "Dear Jesus, heal Daddy's back. Amen." Well, if you want me to pray again, I'll ask him in the same way I asked him the first time, because he hears me. Hannah, one of our trainee kids pastors, started up the Barnabas group we have for our year 5 and 6 kids. And she said to them, she didn't really have, well, her plan was to see what they thought that God wanted to do. So they began just to pray and listen to God. And one of them had a picture of old and new carpet. And they said that the old carpet is us in our sin. It's all messed up and worn down. And we need to get rid of our sin, because we don't want God to see our sin. We want him to see us. And they said, we need to become like the new carpet. And when God forgives us, we're like that brand new carpet, clean and fresh. And so she led the congregation in the Barnabas group in a prayer of forgiveness. Another child had a picture of us being under a rain cloud, that sometimes that's what it feels like. But the sun will always be there, even on a rainy day, which is true, isn't it? The sun is there when it's raining, right? Okay, which is, that right? Yeah. Even on a rainy day, the sun will shine bright in whatever way you look at it. You just need to look for the sun. Wherever you look for it, the sun will be there. And the sun is in Jesus. You've got to look to Jesus, she said. And this is somebody aged 10. She's got this sorted. She's got this understanding. You've got to look for the sun. He's always there. Life sometimes is hard. Life sometimes is tough, but the sun is shining. And then another one had a picture of Pentecost and said, "I really think we need to pray in tongues together." And at the end of their worship time, they all just were singing in tongues together, the whole group. Again, not sweet and cute. And one day we'll take that seriously. Well, you know, the devil takes that seriously and they've got him terrified, because the things that they're doing are shutting his mouth from the lies that he wants to keep telling. We may be here from different walks of life and different situations. Some of us will have kids. Some of us will have grandkids. Some of us won't have kids. Some of us will work with kids. Some of us will serve kids here. Some of us won't have any contact with kids. But, you know, we all have a role to play in the lives of the children of this nation. We all have a role to play in their lives. Now, this is a book by Dr. Wes Stafford. He's the president of Compassion. And he talks about every time you meet a child, it's a divine appointment to say something into the life of that child, creative or destructive. And I have to say, sometimes I don't take that seriously enough. I don't see it as a divine appointment, an opportunity to bless or to curse that child. One time, Danny decided to research his family tree to discover what had been accomplished. He was expecting a glorious path of outstanding men and women that led right to his doorstep. But as he followed the trail into the 1700s and 1800s, the downward spiral shocked him. He discovered criminals, suicides, imprisonments, and even insanity. He began to wonder how on earth this family had ever returned to its God-fearing roots. Then Danny came across the life of his great-grandmother. He learned from her obituary that despite her conditions, she had accepted Christ as Savior at the tender age of 8. She became known for her love of Jesus and for singing hymns wherever she went. She was a woman of earnest prayer and brought up her children to love the Lord. From that point onward, the story of the generations changed. That one woman's life of faith and joy, a century ago, changed the entire course of the Cook family. Simple prayer. That's what this is about in the Old Testament, what God is saying. This is what this is about in the New Testament, what Jesus is saying. This is what this is about, what I'm saying this morning. Affecting generations. That's why kids, because they matter a great deal to God. And God wants to impress it upon our hearts to say, it needs to matter to us that we have a role, whatever our contact with kids, that when we get an opportunity, that we're that bit further ahead of them, our life half spent, the bits that were spent badly in half of our life, to say, don't do that in your life, but run this race. To stand there cheering them as they're coming up behind us, say, go for it! To bless and bring life into the life of every child that we have contact with. So we're going to pray. Can we have the band back, Steve? If you and the band can come back, that'd be great. Can we have the